A warm welcome and a happy Advent to the St. Paul community and beyond as we gather together today to celebrate God's word and work in our lives. I invite you now to take a few moments to slow down from the busyness of the holiday season and of life, and to enter into a space of prayer and reflection as we begin today. And we gather together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Join me in a word of prayer. Creator God, we thank you for the many blessings you bestow upon us and our lives. We thank you for the snow that coats the earth, for the sunshine that warms our faces, and for the stars that brighten the night sky. We look to you and wonder over all of creation and the mighty ways that you appear through it all. We ask that you continue to tend to all lands, that you care for all creatures, and that you bless all people in the ways that it is needed. Through this holiday season, as we prepare for the birth of your Son, we welcome you to make your presence known to us in unexpected ways, to open our eyes to see you at work in our lives and the lives of those around us, so that you may guide us all into a peaceful coexistence with one another. We ask all of this in your holy name. Amen. And our reading today comes from Isaiah, the 11th chapter, beginning with the first verse. A shoot shall come from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge for the poor and decide with equity for the oppressed of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt at his waist, and faithfulness the belt at his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf with the lion will feed together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand in the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And on that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. Here ends the reading. So as I read this passage, sitting with it and beginning to reflect on it, the movie Zootopia kept popping up into mind for me. And maybe it's because the second one has just come out, but as I read through Isaiah using these images of various animals throughout the passage, the interactions of animals in Zootopia is what I pictured as I read the scripture. Now, for those of you who have not seen the movie, Zootopia takes place in a mammal metropolis, where animals from the largest elephant to the smallest shrew live together and thrive. And in the movie, Judy Hopps becomes the first rabbit to join the police force, and in being determined to prove herself, she quickly jumps at the opportunity to solve a mysterious case. But unfortunately, in doing this, she is forced to work with Nick Wilde, who's a wily fox who makes her job even harder. And alongside with Judy Hopps and Nick Wilde, there's Mayor Lionheart, who is a lion, Assistant Mayor Bellwether, who's a sheep, Flash, who's a three-toed sloth and the fastest DMV worker, and Police Chief Bogo, who's a Cape Buffalo. And together, all of these individuals are tasked to work alongside one another to ensure peace and unity within the city of Zootopia. And throughout this first movie, the unexpected pairing of Judy Hopps and Nick Wilde turns out to be just what the city needs to solve its most pressing case. And as I read the illustrations that Isaiah provides within this text, I couldn't help but picture it in a Zootopian type of way. Hearing Isaiah tell us that the wolf shall live with the lamb, that the leopard shall lie down with the goats, the calf and the lion, the cow and the bear will feed together. The only way we may be able to picture this is through a fictional, picture-perfect cartoon place. But Isaiah didn't have this Disney-inspired image in his head when he wrote this. Instead, Isaiah is hoping to lead those who are reading and who are listening to this into an understanding in the absurdity of the oppositions, and to get us all to recognize the unexpected pairings while also acknowledging the peace and the harmony that's pictured with each. In each of the pairings that Isaiah uses, the animals can be viewed as being natural enemies from one another. Each pair pictures danger accompanying the vulnerable. Each pair is a wild animal alongside a domestic one. Each of the animals can be seen as having instincts that would naturally oppose each other. We read first that the wolf shall live with the lamb. We all know that a wolf would naturally be inclined to hunt sheep, but Isaiah tells us that the two will one day live in harmony with each other. And then we hear of the leopard lying down with the goats. Again, two animals who are viewed as being predator and prey are pictured here as being able to find comfort and rest in the presence of one another. And Isaiah goes on to talk about a calf and a lion feeding together. And if we pause here to think about the diet of each of these animals, lions eating mostly meat that they forage and capture themselves, and calves being nourished through food from their mother, yet Isaiah has the two eating together alongside one another. And we continued reading that calves and lions are eating together, and we're also told that cows and bears too will be eating together as their young lie down with each other. And here we can again think about the different diets of these animals, but also how they are naturally enemies, and yet their young are pictured as laying together amongst themselves. And through all of these unexpected pairings, Isaiah is leading us all to a point where there's no more danger, and each is able to relax in the presence of the other. And we read how he uses these opposing images as an unexpected way of symbolizing a future of peace and harmony, where all, even those who are perceived as enemies, can and will live together peacefully. Now, for those who would have heard this directly from Isaiah, they were living in a time where people were tearing each other down, where they were pitting themselves against others, where there were constant conflicts in everyone's lives. Yet, through this poem, God is using Isaiah to give them a vision where fear is not the default emotion in the presence of others surrounding them. God is illustrating a coming existence where power is not used against the weak, an existence with an overarching message that danger does not dictate destiny for those who feel they are living in that danger. And as we hear that in our world today, where people are still tearing others down, where conflict remains a prevalent part of our lives, how can we hear this scripture and use these images to live into what God is calling us towards? As I reflected on what Isaiah is telling us, I began asking myself, what does it mean for us all to fully live together? Isaiah says a wolf and a lamb can live together, and an infant and a snake can play together with no harm done to either. So as we live in a time where we can choose who we spend time with, and we can become so comfortable with those who we are around, how can we instead embody this image of living together with all so that we can live in ways that do welcome the stranger into our lives? In ways that give the outsider a place in our community. In a way that allows us to give space for the unexpected to take shape and live in our lives. And as we live into this practice of living together with all, what does it look like for us to welcome others to our own table? Isaiah tells us that a cow and a bear will graze together, that the lion will eat straw with the ox. And we know that what each of these animals need in order to survive does not seem like they would be able to share a meal together. Yet Isaiah tells us that they will eat together. So how can we move past all of our excuses or all of the things that hold us back to make our tables bigger? How can we practice inviting and welcoming more to join us at our own feasts to make sure they're fed together? How can we embody what it means to be at peace in the presence of those around us? We read of the leopard and the goat, of the calf and the bear lying down together. And in a time where it can be too easy to focus on the things that make us different, or the things we don't like about the person, or the things that we don't agree on, how can we instead find ways to be at peace within ourselves so then we can also be at peace among others? Isaiah tells us that the leopards and the goats will be able to do this. So how can you and I also do this? How can we all become the way that God is working through the unexpected? Isaiah uses images of animals living together in unity to signify a world of peace and harmony for all of creation. And through using both the wild beasts and the domestic animals in this picture of peace and unity, Isaiah also tells us that they will all be led by a little child. And while we would typically think of a farmer or a king or picture a strong ruler needing to be responsible for tending to it all, Isaiah goes against that and says that the role will instead be filled by a little child. And while this matches his theme of unexpected illustrations, we can look back from our perspectives today and see how this image, how this prophecy, how this poem is fulfilled through Jesus. And as we move through this Advent season towards the Christmas celebrations to come, we recognize how through Jesus, God is fulfilling Isaiah's vision. And if we then use Jesus' life as an example of doing the unexpected and guiding others in hope and in peace, we can see how his whole life reflects and mirrors Isaiah's depiction of future coexistence. We read that Jesus leads a ministry where he lives with people. He creates a community out of ordinary people, calling those who fill those ordinary roles into an extraordinary mission. His entire ministry was and continues to be relational between the sick and the outcast, the faithful and the sinners. And in welcoming all and being part of a ministry of people, Jesus welcomes all to the table in belonging and transformation, continuously feeding the hungry, providing an abundance for those who gather around the table, welcoming them all in grace and in worthiness. And through all of this, Jesus not only taught, but he preached and practiced peace. And he lived a life that fully embodied this peace, showing us all what it means to unexpectedly lie down and live with others, what it means to unconditionally open our table, to unfailingly love all of those around us. So as we go about these next few weeks, preparing for the birth of Jesus, knowing what all is to come through that birth, how can we also find ways to embrace the unexpected things that we encounter along the way? How can we take the fear, the power, and the dangers of our world today and replace them with the peace that Isaiah speaks of? With the peace that we all get to experience through Christ's birth? How can we embody a faith that without fail welcomes all, provides comfort, sustains others, and reflects a harmony of all creation? but also reflecting and showing a faith that always shows how God is working in and through all things, even those things that seem to be the most absurd and unexpected. Amen. Let us pray together again. Gracious God, we pray together for the world, the church, and all creation. We pray that your love may be felt by everyone. As we go into this holiday season, we ask that you give comfort and to support to those who grieve, that you give cheer and joy to those who gather together, and that you heal all who are sick and struggling, that you bless all who need it in the ways that only you are able to do. We pray that you enliven the church in this Advent season in preparation for your Son, Jesus Christ. Bring joy and wonder and love into the lives of all of those in the church, so that those gifts may then be shared with others in our lives. We ask you to remain with pastors and deacons, with bishops and lay leaders, as they go about planning and leading through the Advent and Christmas seasons ahead. We pray that you comfort and sustain all of creation, from the newest of shrubs to the oldest forest, from the smallest of hummingbirds to the biggest whales, from the warmest places to the coldest. Be with your creation in never-failing ways. Lord God, we pray that you continue to be with us in unexpected ways, so that we can always know your work and share your love with those around us. We ask all of this in your holy name. Amen. And now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord look upon you and grant you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, go in peace and love. Look for God in the absurd and unexpected.